return, man. As promised, we finally got around to do this movie that we've been talking about doing. This is show 332. I'm the host of Fanzo Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button, all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, is feeling a little bit under the weather, but she's soldiering on, y'all, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
Yeah, just a little sick, but, well, you know, it's going to be fine.
Just a little sick, but it's going to be fine.
Just a little sick.
Jesus. Okay, so, you know, we're going to do our duty. So we got a good show, though. So, I mean, better than usual. We actually got the Mortal Kombat. It actually came out.
So, yes. I was like, you mean the show, the news? I was like, that's fine.
Oh, the news?
Yeah.
For the show.
Oh. Well, because you were like, we got a good show. So yeah. I was like, oh, the news. And I was like, well, it's fine news.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like, you know, we've had better news. I remember when there used to be good news.
All the time, right?
You know? Yeah, there was never, you know, there was like, sometimes there was too much news. Like, you were like, got to pick the two best ones because there's too much news.
Yeah.
That was our hubris. That's what fucking fucked us up.
Mm.
Now we got all the shit, like, shitty news. You're just like, even like, okay, so like, this news is actually pretty good considering what we've had in the past.
That is true. That is true.
But even this is like compared to what we could have had, like,
yeah,
2019 wise.
Oh shoot,
paltry.
2017 wise, if we
holy shit, right. Fucking drowning in news
all the time, right? That's what the MCU was young and
shit. Now it's all just a fucking dried up dog turd,
right?
All
right. Well, we got a rumor. We got. I thought it would be fun to talk about this. This MCU rumors, mm-hmm. And so we're gonna talk about that. And then we got some big time, some real MCU news. My goodness, I can't speak today. And so we're gonna talk about that, and I think that's gonna be cool. A little rumor, a little real, and then because we're doing Mortal Kombat, I'm not gonna do it. I almost grabbed that echo machine. we're doing top five martial arts movies of all time, our own personal. So this ought to be good because, you know, I was into martial arts films as a kid and they were terrible, but, you know, it was just a bunch of kung fu, you know, that's all you cared about. But I just had to put a little thought into this one, Tiff.
Yeah, me too. I realized as I was compiling this list that I'm not a martial arts movie fan.
No.
Like, not that I dislike them when I watch them, but I just don't, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to like run out and like.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm sitting down on a Friday and I've got nothing to do, I'll turn on, you know what I mean? Like, I think there are some people who are like more, I love fighting movies.
Yeah.
I guess I've never been like super partial to like specifically.
Well. Tiff, funny enough, man, just to talk about this for a second, you know, they have all these channels, horror channels, all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
They got action channels, all that, you know, but they don't have like I would love a martial arts channel that just had from the beginning of time to now, you know, just martial arts films.
Because what they should have
they draw you
is
in.
like on like a fighting movie channel.
Yeah, but then you would get all the.
But then you could have specific days for the martial arts.
That's
but the
true.
Reason I say that is because I think you might run out of martial arts films.
What? You say that, but then...
Yeah, when I was kind of looking for martial arts movies, there was a lot of them.
It's a lot of them, man. And you're like, wow, you know, just show it all. Anyway, man, we're going to finish the whole thing off by doing the brand new Mortal Kombat, which is funny because the name of this film is Mortal Kombat. It's no nothing. You know, it's a reboot movie. So... They're starting over, y'all. It has nothing to do with the 1995 that we just reviewed on our Patreon. But before we go any further, saying all that stuff, man, this has to sound good. Are you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. All right, man. We are back. It is not time for news. It's time for our social media. Tiff, I think I'll take it this week. How about that?
You know what? I would appreciate that.
No problem. For everything Fans on Patrol, go to fansonpatrol.com. That's the big website. We got links to everything. The videos, the other links, show art, everything is on there. Check us out at Fans on Patrol. And the shows, archive shows, not all the shows, but enough for you to get started. You can hit us up on any pod application to hear the show, man. We're everywhere. If you think we're maybe not on yours, we're there, trust me. Also, social media interaction, we're at Fans of Patrol. And that's it and that's all. Check us out. So, man, let me see. Where are we? We're back news. At the news. So, man, I can't wait to next week because we're supposed to do the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. No.
I'm okay. Full disclosure, I haven't watched any of that shit.
and Tiffany,
I'm really glad that you told me now.
Let me say this about it. You watch the first show, you love buddy cops, you're gonna love it. That's all I got to say.
I'm not opposed to it. It's just that, like, there's been a lot going on over here.
Yeah, listen to you. Look, so taking over, taking the mic out of Tiff's hand. So, saying that, man, you know, right before the last show was announced, was dropped on Thursday, they announced that they were going to do a Captain America 4 movie. And I lost my mind because I love it. But then because I love the Captain America franchise has been one of the best in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this one is going to be ran by the showrunner of the Winter Soldier. His name is Malcolm Spellman, and he's going to be the creator of this project. And I say lovely and kudos to that because so far I have enjoyed that series. And so I think this is great. And so we're talking about Sam and the Winter Soldier being the stars of Captain America 4. And who knows what they're going to do at the end. Maybe they might bring Cap back with another person. Maybe they might pay Christopher Evans some more money. Maybe they just continue this direction. Who knows? Right now, it's just been announced. And so, personally, I'm like, yeah, more of this. And so, it probably was the plan the whole time to do these transition things and get you excited about stuff and move you on. I love it. Tiff, what do you think?
Since I haven't watched the show, it's kind of hard for me to comment on whether or not I would, think that he would be. But I've heard really good things. I do think it's exciting knowing that it's going to be those two. Yeah. And, like, even no matter, like, what's going to happen as far as, like, whether or not they'll have Chris Evans come back or because we've talked about this on the show all the time about, like, this being the comic book route, at least similar to, like, some of the stuff that's happened in comic books. But, like, if they have him as Captain America, I don't care how long they have him as Captain America. I think it's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that movie. I want there to be like 5 Captain Americas, right? I want there to be like
interesting
with 4 and 5. Give him some time to be Captain America before they, if they ever do. But I mean, but I understand there's a limited amount of time. Like if they are going to bring Chris Evans back, I mean, he's not going to live forever. He's a young man now. But, look at fucking 2020. Look at how long it's taken to get all those movies out. We're fucking backlogged, man.
Yeah. You know, they could always do they could always do the old man Cap and de-age him, but still have him like strong like Isaiah Bradley on the TV show and stuff. And that would be something interesting to see, too. You know, he don't have to be Captain America, maybe just in the movie. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? I'm excited. Captain America. I didn't think it was going to be anymore. In the MCU, I didn't think it was going to be any more Captain America movies. I thought they were going to just do other things,
what did you think they would do?
Well, they've announced their slates, remember? And they never said anything about Captain America 4,
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It was like Thor, loving, basketball or whatever the hell that was. Loving justice. It was a whole bunch of shit, but never did they say Captain America 4. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, sure. Surprise. Surprise.
Yes. Yeah, so.
But like I said, though, we haven't even gotten our 2020 movies yet.
Yeah. But
so we're behind.
The poor, Scarlett Johansson, she cannot
get everyone her movie out. Mourn for the poor Scarlett Johansson, beautiful and rich.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Sad that her movie she already got paid for hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, it's sad for me. I'm tearful about it. I don't give a damn.
It's sad for all of us who care about rich people in Hollywood.
Well, getting back to the source material.
I know why you guys care. I know why all of you care, okay? I'm not dumb.
Well, I'm still just a little, I'm not sure how I feel about that project. I've said it on the show before only because, spoilers, she's not around anymore. And so.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I get it, but I think it's. But you know what? There was that other thing that we thought would be bad and wasn't bad.
What thing?
Because he's dead. WandaVision.
Oh, yeah, but, they Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Before we watched it.
That's true. That is true. But again, in the comics, you know, he is an android. You can bring him back by flipping a switch.
Okay. Whatever.
Turn his ass on again. You know. Anyway, man. So I think it's cool. Moving on. Let's see. So there's a rumor going around, and you know, this rumor is picking up steam. And don't know if it's a real thing or not. But I just thought it would be interesting to talk about because it's something that I would like to see. So the rumor is that Marvel has decided which stars from the Netflix shows would join the MCU. And I thought the choices were kind of interesting. So the Jessica Jones, the Daredevil Charlie Cox, who's already been announced to be in a Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. And John Berthon's Punisher, which I'm really excited about because I think it felt like he was just getting his feet rolling as the Punisher, and then the show was canceled. But they didn't say anything, I don't believe, about Nick Cage or the guy that played Iron Fist. People hated Iron Fist, so
they said that the last paragraph is that if you scroll all the way down,
I'm looking.
Is that they are not. That they are not bringing those two back.
Oh no. That's what I mean. That they didn't.
Which is why?
Well,
I mean, I guess for the Iron Fist, they probably gonna cast an Asian person. Would be my guess.
Oh yeah, because that. Well,
the backlash that they had against. I know that in the comics he's white.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, because that really wasn't whitewashing, you know, because he's white in the comic, you know. So
right, but we make other. We make other characters who are supposed to be Asian white. So why wouldn't we make a person who's supposed to be white Asian?
Yeah, that's true.
Does that make sense?
It so does. Like, but they did just drop the trailer for Shang-Chi, man. You know, the master of Kung Fu from in the MCU. So, and it looked 100% Asian. I mean, I don't even think I've seen a white person.
Well, can we talk a little? Can we discuss?
Oh, you want to go off books a little bit? Let's go.
Off books.
Okay.
Well, just slightly. Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One.
Yeah, you know something.
That's looking back, I feels pretty racist.
It feels pretty racist, but this is what I heard, and I might have this wrong. So if anybody knows better, just let me know. I heard that Disney was so busy trying not to offend China because that person was supposed to represent, you know, one of China's enemies. So instead of making it an Asian person completely saying, yes, we're rooting for your enemies up in your mountains, we're going to make her somebody. We're going to make it something totally different. So not to offend, so we can make money. And the movie can be released in China because it wouldn't be released in China if they would have put a Asian person as that character. And so
okay. I have no idea, but also
I thought that was very interesting, you know, that's the real
reason.
Well,
there are rules about what you can and cannot, what you can and cannot release in China,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like potentially that is but couldn't they have done like maybe someone who was not
maybe,
like, okay,
maybe
like
somebody
race,
Indian or something, you know, something, you know.
Well, what about like a raceless person like Tilda Swinton, but she's in like a void suit, so you see. Don't ask me questions. I'm tired. I brought this up myself. I did this to myself. All I know is it felt weird.
Yeah, it did. It did, and
because they made her look Asian-y. Not like, oh, that sounded horrible.
Well, with the bald head is what you're talking about.
Not talking about bald head. I'm talking about she's wearing like monk's robes and like wearing prayer beads and
yeah.
You know,
until
that's what I'm saying, like most of the other parts of the character are, you know what I mean? Like she is not Asian, but every other part of her character is Asian inspired.
Yeah. And until I heard that explanation just like this week, I heard that this week. And I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I thought it was dumb, you know, but, you know, whatever. So here we go with back to this story.
I'm sorry. I totally fucking forgot we hadn't even finished talking about this shit. But I mean, I guess the thing is, yeah, sure. I don't necessarily believe it because I don't know why Disney.
Well, here's the catch.
Like, oh, the casting was so good.
Here's the catch, though, Tiff. They're not supposed to be taking any of the stories or the characters that they developed in those shows. They just want the actors to play the same.
Why would they want that?
Jesus. They want the actors to play the same role But it's going to be rewritten, you know, to be different in that.
But tell me why. I don't know. Does Disney want those actors? Okay, are they looking at the profit margins and saying, okay, I see that the Charlie Cox character, the Kristen Ritter character made this much money. We think that we're going to get that pull. For us, it doesn't really matter who we cast, right? Because we're going to make it good.
Right.
But we might be able to get a little bit more.
Well, maybe I'm not really 100% sure why they would, you know, de facto all the, you know, the history and stuff like that and, you know, start it over. But, you know, it makes a little sense, but not that much of a sense, you know. So who knows?
Because it's not their property. They can't take those stories.
Right. And I guess the person would act like, you know, Jessica Jones, but none of that stuff that happened. This is a fresh new story, you know, it's how, right. It's kind of written. Not upset about them recasting Luke Cage because, you know, the guy, Michael Cotier, he had the look, but he didn't know the character. He made his own Luke Cage. It wasn't the Luke Cage even remotely close in the comics and stuff. So I truly won't miss him as an actor playing this, mm-hmm. you know, so just go on and find another buff brother and throw him in there and, you know, and let him act the way the character's supposed to act and not so nice and calm. Like, well, Michael Cotier, it's almost like he was just being himself, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was like, that's not really Luke Cage, you know, so he never really sold it to me. So anyway, man, this is a rumor. And, you know, maybe some of the stuff you're even saying, Tiff, is like just shooting it out the water to be false.
Well, that was my to discuss this, whatever, because I kind of want them to come back. I like them. I want them to come back.
Yeah.
But like my thought process is like trying to like be like, OK, everybody be prepared for this not to be true.
Yeah.
Because in reality, why would they do that? Why would they unless they had some kind of, like, you know, right, some ulterior motive, they would want to get their own actors.
You know, at this point, though, I could not imagine anybody else playing the Punisher. You know, I thought John Bernthal was so phenomenal in that role that if somebody else put on that suit, I might, yeah, get out of here. You know,
maybe that's what they're worried about. Maybe they're like maybe they did a secret test audience thing. They wouldn't have done that because people would have said somebody would have blabbed. But they're, you know, conducting some kind of research about like, hey, maybe people are going to react poorly to these things that we don't have.
Only reason I think this could be true, you know, because people like it. Because I really like the Charlie Cox character. Could I see somebody else playing it? Yes. Kristen Ritter, I could see somebody else playing it. Yes. For me, John Bernthal was the biggest one that was like, you know. But I really like both of those other two characters. But I think somebody else can play them. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
that Punisher character, I mean, the man just made it his own thing. You know, it was like, wow, he did such a good job. And yeah. I think he really, really enjoys playing that guy, you know. he really likes, you know, Frank Castle, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, man, I'll be interested to see how this shakes out, if this ends up being something that never come to be or has some truth to it.
But even if it does, it might not be for like 6 years.
Yeah, because we backed up like we need some X-lax, right?
God, let's just put that, get it out.
There's so much stuff, right? Okay, so that's going to do it. That's the news, man. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with our list. Got to throw in an echo somewhere in this podcast. Love the list. We'll be right back. All right, man, it's time for that great part of the show. Sometimes we run down the list of our top five, top three, stuff like that. This is top five martial arts films of our own personal choice.
Yes.
And go jump off a cliff. So this is it's ours.
These are ours.
And full disclosure right from the beginning, and I know martial arts fans is going to kill me for this, but I still have not seen a raid. I have a feeling it would probably be on this list. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe we'll do it on Patreon. Anyway, saying that.
The raid?
The raid, yeah. Yeah.
Like roaches.
Well, like a police raid.
Oh, got it.
So.
Never seen it.
Nah, me obviously. Neither. Yeah, me neither, but I heard it's so, so good. So, man, Tiff, What's on starting at the least favorite, but working your way to the favorite? What's on your fifth slot?
So my number five was Karate Kid.
I never even considered it a kung fu movie. Wow, that's an excellent movie. I'll check that out.
And I wouldn't. The thing is that like
it's one of my favorites.
For me, it's not even like one of my favorite movies. Like it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was talking with Mike the other day, and I said, if it came on TV, I might change the channel. Like that's really? How I mean, yeah, because like I don't hate it, but I'm not like,
oh, it's so good.
It's not like one of those movies that I'm like gonna watch that again.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that makes sense. It's not like I wouldn't, but I'm not like. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would totally get that out of my DVD case.
Oh, see, for me, it has a total opposite effect. If it comes on TV, and even though I own it, if it comes on TV, I'm like, I'm going to watch The Karate Kid again. Let me watch that. Even with the commercials, I love that movie, man. So the Kung Fu is weak, though, but, well, it's not even, it's martial arts.
It's
karate. Right, it's karate. Karate.
So you should have been more specific.
Oh, no, it don't have to be Kung Fu. All martial arts is synonymous with kung fu with me. You know, I say kung fu, I mean it all.
Sure.
You know? Oh shit! But excellent choice. You're gonna laugh at mine.
All right, go on. Tell me number five.
My number five of all time is "You Are the Last Dragon."
Oh my god! I don't know if I've ever seen that
with Bruce Lee.
The Last Dragon. Yeah. I've not seen a lot of Bruce Lee movies.
No, not Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee Roy. It's a black movie.
I'm sorry, what the fuck is that?
The Last Dragon with Vanity and
heard of this.
Yes, it's so great. Never, we did it on the show. I think you missed that show.
I probably wasn't on that show, yeah.
It was a goofy black karate movie. first ever. Well, you know, not, you know, the whole movie. Yeah, it's in the 80s. We did it on the show. It's an awesome movie. Not the best kung fu in anything.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I did watch this movie.
When you got the glow.
Yes. Holy shit. Why is my brain a fucking garbage dump? I do fucking remember that movie.
I thought it was weird that you'd never seen it. I was like, really?
I was like, we did do it on the show. I fucking remember. Okay. Yes.
So wow. That's okay. My number five. My kung fu flicks get a little bit more serious, but you know, there we go. But that's my number five. And all you purest kung fu people looking for the Shaolin Temple and who is your master, gone somewhere. That's my list. So Tiff, what is your number four?
Okay, so my number four, if you think that was gonna make you laugh, my number four, Beverly Hills Ninja.
Almost choked. Oh, I literally. Well, at least it got Liu Kang in it, huh?
Well, there's legitimate martial arts in that movie. Oh, God. It just happens to be a comedy, that's why this is my list, because we discussed. Did we discuss on air that like I realized? Yes, earlier on the show, at the top of the show, I kind of mentioned that I realized while making this list that like I don't necessarily seek out martial arts movies.
I got you. Back in the day, I did. I used to spend my whole Saturday sitting there watching Kung Fu Theater, you know, so. But yeah, purists would say I need to be shot for putting The Last Dragon on the list. But
well.
It's a better movie than most of those other martial arts films, though. I mean, as far as being a movie, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is our list. We don't have to explain to anybody.
I'm kind of jealous of Karate Kid because I'm like, damn, I really could have put this on this list.
You could have had a better list. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What's your number four?
My number four is something that we recently did on Patreon. Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport, man.
Oh! Bloodsport is my number three.
Oh, shoot. Well, why is it on your list at all?
Well, I, as you know, have seen many, 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 many Jean-Claude Van Damme films.
Right.
And I would say that I picked this one, not even necessarily because it's my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme film, although all his movies could be considered martial arts movies because he is a martial artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like in movies in which he does martial arts, which are all of them, he does martial arts in all his movies and he shows his ass in all his movies. The yeah. reason I put Bloodsport is because
the little panty scene is where my mind just went, where he just always tucked the panties.
Yep. So every This movie, I think, is a little bit more, and all his movies are kind of fun, but like, I like this one in Kickboxer a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There's like some fun elements to him, but also good action sequences, good fighting. Potentially maybe because this one's less about Jean-Claude Van Damme and more about other people, but I do really like him. I don't care what you say. I don't believe you. I refuse to believe what you say.
You say you refuse to believe me saying what?
I refuse to believe what you say about him.
What? Oh.
Being a bad person.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
I mean, he is. Okay. I mean, I don't refuse to believe you, but well, in my heart of hearts.
He was terrible back in the day when he was on fire on as Coke. A star. Yeah. High as hell.
It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. what you are doing and why you're doing it doesn't, like why you are doing something doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
Like if you're murdering people because you're a cokehead, you're still a murderer.
Well, yeah.
Why did you say Bloodsport?
Oh, because it's just a phenomenal movie. And you know what? Mortal Kombat wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for, you know, that movie. You know, that movie was, mm-hmm. it was an inspiration of everything. Even, you know, a character, Johnny Cage, is based on Jean-Claude Van Damme's character, Bill Dukes, in this movie, who was based on a real person. Bill Dukes. Was it Bill
Dukes? Right. Bill Dukes. And that guy wanted to, like, sue.
Yeah. After they had a partnership for a while. However, it was just a phenomenal movie, man. You know, it wasn't a great movie, but at least it had a plot, a beginning and an end. And it had so many characters that were so good that it might have only had screen time for a second. But even the guys who didn't even talk, they had such personality with their fighting styles that they did such a good job. You know, like even the guy that was like, USA. You know, it's like, oh, man, everybody in this movie, the little bitty parts they had was so good. I love that movie, and I can watch it at any time. So that's why it's on my list.
You should do your number three because I just did my number three.
My number three is, it's The Big Boss Man. 1971, The Big Boss Man. That's Bruce Lee's.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's had different names. It's been called Fist of Fury.
Oh, okay.
It's The Big Boss Man is the kind of the American name. And I mean, it's had several names, but that was Bruce Lee's first big hit. And, you know, it's a classic bully in the town type of martial arts films. You know, it was a bully in the town and, you know, killed his whole family, and they had all the slow motion scenes, you know, all the stuff that you like just can't wait to get, you know, to see with the kicks and stuff. And Bruce Lee, there was no, what do you call that stuff? Special effects. So everything you saw was what you saw, no crammer tricks or anything. So it's really it's my favorite martial arts, purest martial arts film in the world. Yeah, so that's why it's on my list. It's not number one when a lot of people think it probably should be, but I am saying movies. It probably has the best action realistic fighting in the movie, but as far as
your enjoyment of the film, yes, overall.
Absolutely. The Big Boss Man, Bruce Lee, 1971.
Wow, that's crazy.
Indeed. Your number two, Tiff.
My number two is Rumble in the Bronx.
Wow, I forgot all about this movie. You got to have a list with Jackie Chan in it. That's
now. Listen, I fucking love Rumble in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
It's a really good one. I do like a lot of Jackie Chan movies, and I like Jackie Chan as a person.
Oh, he's a nice. Well, he seems to be a nice guy in interviews.
He's right. We can only say
right
of people we don't know that they seem to be nice, but he seems to be like, and I think what I do like about Jackie Chan is that he seems to be nice, but he also seems to genuinely enjoy. Like, he's really happy.
He's very try-hard, that's for sure.
To have had the opportunity to, like, make movies and, like, and you can tell because, like, there's, if you ever watch, we always watch, and if you don't watch the outtakes of a Jackie Chan movie, shame on you. Why are you even watching a Jackie Chan movie?
With him getting hurt for real and all that stuff?
With him getting hurt or, like, funny things that happen when he tries to do stunts or just whatever. Even when he gets hurt, he's just jovial. Like, he's like, ooh, it sucks. But he's like, oh, yeah. He likes, like, there was a part, I think it's Rumble in the Bronx, but I've seen a lot of Jackie Chan movies where he breaks his foot and then they, like, draw on the cast to make it look like a sneaker.
Yeah, I've seen that. That might have happened in Rush Hour 2. I mean, one of the Rush Hour movies.
So, like, he gets his, I really like it.
Yeah. I'm glad you put him on the list because he's not on my list, but I'm glad he's on one of our lists because he deserves to be. My number two, probably a movie that a lot of people haven't heard from. That's Ip Man 2. This is Ip Man 2. So, you know.
I also know Ip Man 2.
It is so good, man. The franchise progressively gets worse and worse. But it meant
it peaked at number two.
It peaked at number two because it was basically a one story. And after a lot of the historical things got out of the way, it turned into a bully in the town story, which ended up being really, really good. And, you know, it's just a phenomenal. The martial arts are ridiculously dope. I mean, it's like unforgivable badness. And your boy Donnie Yen is just, he's phenomenal. And, you know, of course, the character is supposed to be Bruce Lee's master, one of his masters. And so it's just based on a true story, loosely, at least the first two movies is. I don't know. The first two and then that one when he's like older is played by a different guy, not Donnie Yen. But it's a phenomenal movie. So, Tiff, what is your number one?
Well, it's funny because you already said it.
It Man?
No. Number one for me is Rush Hour.
Rush Hour?
Yeah, and I don't give a shit what anybody fucking says. When that movie came, I love that movie. I would. Now, that's a movie that if it came on TV, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Tiff, I struggle not putting Rush Hour on my list. I was like,
it's a fun movie. It's fun. And like, it's fun. It's funny. It's got good action in it. Like, I just don't see what else you could want.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie Chan makes it legit with him and his traveling martial arts crew, you know, doing all the stunts and all that stuff. So, it's phenomenal. It's good stuff. I'll allow it.
I kind of want to watch it right now.
Oh, there you go. A lullaby you nicely. And yeah, I like that franchise. My number one, Tiff. 2008, Ip Man. That number one.
That was kind of a twist I wasn't expecting.
Mm. Well, really, Ip Man 1 and 2 is one story. It's one story. I mean, it's a very different in how the stories like start because so much happens in them. You know, with the historical accuracy of the Chinese invasion, the Japanese invasion into China and things like that. So a lot of stuff happens. And the movie is a lot deeper than you might think it is. You know what I'm saying? It really hits some hard, you know, hitting topics in it, you know, with the history at that time. Because it's about this man's life, you know what I'm saying? It's not like just some goofy story somebody, you know, wrote. And it's phenomenal. The most hard-hittingest, sweetest martial arts, best story, martial arts film on a planet. And, you know, even if it wasn't a martial arts film, oh, no, it would have to be a martial arts film because it's full of it. But it's so good. So if you haven't seen this movie, what the hell are you doing? Go watch it, man. So that's my list.
That's a pretty bad list for martial art movies, right? Like, I think that probably martial artists are, well, not martial artists necessarily, but like people who enjoy martial arts movies.
Oh, they would have been way back with
would be not upset, would be very upset. I think, I would say that probably some people that were missing are like, who's that, Stephen Chow? The guy who did the comedy, like the Kung Fu Hustle. Well, and like Shaolin Soccer.
Yep, and the Five Deadly Venoms and all that stuff. But those movies aren't really good.
I mean, shit, be careful.
I just don't think so.
I don't want to fucking get burnt up on the internet.
They're just not really good movies. I mean, they have phenomenal martial arts in it, but that's the phenomenal martial arts don't make a great movie, you know.
And then what's the other, like the House of Flying Daggers and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff?
The Flying Guillotines. Look. I know all that stuff, but these are better movies.
This is our list.
All right. And you can't make me change it. So, not you, anybody.
Oh, shit.
I know all those movies from back in the day, but, you know, whatever. These are better movies. So, and I'm really looking forward to Shang-Chi, man. I want to see that, man, you know. I'm finally bringing a movie that's not whitewashed in the Marvel Universe. Anyway, man, that's it, man. That's the list, and we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with our main topic, more martial arts, Mortal Kombat, damn it.
Yeah.
All right, man, we are back. It's time for the final segment, man. Been waiting for this one, man. Mortal Kombat, Simon McQuad. Is the director. And this movie stars a whole bunch of people. Mortal Kombat 2021, rated are for real. They wasn't playing with this one. 1 hour 50 minutes, y'all. Movie stars some people that you might know, like Louis Tan, he's in this, and Jessica McNamee. I don't know her. Josh Lawson is in this. What's his name? McKay Brooks, he's in this. This is guy from Supergirl. So he's in this, and huh?
This is good for him.
Oh yeah, good for him.
But I'm glad that he's getting away from whatever that is. Hiroyuki Sanada.
There you go. Thank you. I knew you was going to get me on that one because, you know.
And then Tadanobu Asano. Those are like, yeah.
Yeah, heavy Japanese names. And then we got Chin Hang, who's been around for a while, man. It's kind of funny to see him walking around with that big wig on. Anyway, though, man. So here's a synopsis, man. It's action, adventure, fantasy, sci-fi, thriller. MMA fighter Cole Young seeks out Earth's greatest champion in order to stand against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stakes battle for the universe. Sounds simple. We kind of know the story, but you didn't. It's a little different things going on here. Anyway, man, before we hit it hard, it's time for one. I had to, y'all. I'm sorry. I had to. Oh, shit. Tiff, one word.
Perfection.
Perfection. Wow.
And I will say that not as a movie.
Okay.
Not as like a film, mm-hmm. like when you compare it to other like movies, but for as far as like the telling of a Mortal Kombat story, I think it's pretty good.
I would agree with you with that. I mean, it's only so much there, right? For the video right. game movie and stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, I can't wait to talk about this because it has some really, really, really high points. It got some low points too. But the stuff that they do well, I mean, they do right, they do well. And so, can't wait to talk about it. My one word is a little different this time. Series.
Series.
I'll explain.
Yes.
Because I think this would have been so much better if they would have made a HBO Max series, television series out of this instead of a movie. Because I think you had a lot here that you could have unpacked over some given the right amount of time. And I think it would have been way better if you would have did, even if it was limited to like 10, 13 episodes. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I would have preferred to see a series with this because they did a lot of stuff right. Did some shit wrong too, but you know, mm-hmm. we'll allow it.
Well, there's, I heard that they have 4 movies in the works.
4 movies. Yeah, but see, here's my problem. Well, let's hit the spoilers. Here's my issue with that is that you're introducing characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every character could have had his own show, damn near. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as like yeah. that one show where they might spend a half of the like the show showing how they got to where they got to, you know what I'm saying? Until you get to this one moment here. And I think it could have been really done. But that's just me. I wanted to see more of some of the other characters, especially old man Scorpion that was in hell, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I could totally see that. Yeah. But that's the thing about Mortal Kombat or other fighting games. Some do it better than others, where they have like a story mode that you can fight through.
Yeah.
Where like you can choose to just do the fights, but yes. you can also play through the fighting. Like that's where some of this, in Earthrealm, Outer Realm, Outworld, Earthrealm,
yeah.
Hell, all that stuff. Like, there's a name for hell, but it's not hell.
Yeah.
I can't remember it.
The Netherworld. It's a Netherworld, right?
Yeah, so like there's like some, you know, there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, I think there's like a lot of, it could have been a really nice series, but also like what I say when I watched this movie was I had a fun time the whole time.
I will give it that 100%. And that's why
I said. Yeah, like I was like, ooh, because like I've seen other movies that are like this, mm-hmm. that are like not necessarily from a video game, but yeah, sure. Like Monster Hunter. Mm-hmm. We could have just had fun, but you ruined it.
Yeah. And you ruined it by stepping so far off of the source material.
Right.
That, you
and
know.
this does a little bit, like, because the...
Yeah.
The markings thing. But, like, how else are you going to say, like, oh, these people just decided to fight? I mean, like...
Oh, Tiff, I'm going to be honest with you. I really like that aspect of it because it was like...
It just made it make sense. It was a quick, easy way.
Yeah, you're invited. You know, and it was like...
Right.
In the first movie. And it's like, okay. I mean, it wasn't bad, but... This almost made everyone seem like have a destiny to be involved right. in this thing. So I dug it. My favorite part of this whole movie, man, is the beginning. So we can start there. And apparently they released this like 7 minutes of this online the day before the show came out. I guess trying to show people how good it was. And this actor, man, no matter what he's in, whether he's the good guy, whether he's the bad guy, he's been in Wolverine, he's been in The Last Samurai, you know, he's a sword master. He's the real deal. I love him. He plays the same role, but he's so good doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Family gets murdered. And this whole, the intensity of this first scene with the family and a little boy and, you know, the wife and the bodyguards out there. It was just so good. And then the martial arts, Tiff, you know, kicking that damn knife around on a rope was just like, I'm so sitting there cool. Like, oh my God, this is okay, so good.
I will say, I don't want anyone, I just think people like complain about this movie a little bit, but like what it does do, there are fights consistently throughout the movie. You're not like going, like that's probably my problem with like a lot of movies, like for instance, Kong versus Godzilla, is that like you go so long between
is
the fights, right?
The bane of your movie existence for this year.
More monkey punching. in this movie, because it's a movie about people who are fighting to see, well, first of all, to be Earthrealm champion, like to be like, to keep Earthrealm safe, that like there's fights every, and they make sense. It's not like they're like, oh God, they're fighting again. You're like, oh, they're this makes sense. They're fighting.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what I really, really dug was the incorporation of the powers. I really, really liked that because, you know, they would subtly touch on them in the other Mortal Kombat movies, you know, like something happens, never explained. But the whole, you know, finding of your power, I dug that aspect of the story. So this is about a character that's not in the movies, in the game, this MMA fighter. And I thought that was an interesting choice because I thought we was going to get the Liu Kang story all over again, you know?
Yeah.
Which we saw that movie already, so I'm glad they didn't do this. So they introduced this character, and I'm sure he'll probably show up in the next game as a playable character or something like that. He was actually a voice in Mortal Kombat 10 I was reading. I was like, oh,
really?
Yeah, he was. So, you know, he foreshadowed his future. And, you know, quickly he meets, what's his name, Jax. Now, funny enough, I talked to McKay Brooks at the last con of the year before the pandemic. He couldn't do interviews, but he was such a trippy kind of guy because he really wanted to talk to me, right? Because he was just dropping hints like for no reason when his manager was sitting there looking the other way. He's like, no, I can't do no interview, but y'all like Mortal Kombat? I'm like, yeah, we like Mortal Kombat. What about Jackson Mortal Kombat? I'm like, look at this dude.
okay. He's now my favorite person ever.
Yeah, he was being super cool. And I really did want to interview him, but he was, you know, it was just me and Smooth sitting there talking to him. You know, nobody was really talking to him because they didn't really know who he was, you know? And so he was cool. And I liked his character. I liked how when Sub-Zero showed up, they turned it into like a gunfight. Like that whole, it was like a damn near a monster movie in the beginning because Sub-Zero was a monster, Tiff. Oh
yeah,
my God.
See, and like, so like, I like, there is some parts that like, there are only a few parts in this movie where I'm like, is when they have trouble accepting some things, but accept other things pretty easily.
Yeah.
But that's whatever. But yes, like he shows up and he's like, are they like in Hollywood or California?
I thought he was in California and he said drive to Indiana. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's a fucking long ass drive. But maybe he wasn't in, because like later he talks about going to.
Maybe it was in California.
Hollywood.
It looked
like
California.
But why did we both assume that it was California?
I don't know. It looked like California to me.
It did look like, that's just looked like California. But like, because they're like, oh, it's snowing.
In July.
And she's like, it's July. But
right.
It's like, if you're in California, it shouldn't be snowing.
At all.
Period.
Right. So that might be a point. And so the Sonya Blade character. Now, what an improvement from the last Sonya Blade. But I'm going to tell you what I really liked. And that was Kano, the actor who played Kano.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, he's a show stealer.
He was such a piece of shit. He got on your nerves so bad, you know, and it wasn't for bad reasons because he was like a bad actor. But the dude was, he was supposed to get on everybody's nerves. He got on my nerves. And I'm sitting there like, this dude is the worst. But you're right. Total show stealer, Tiff. He was awesome, man.
like, you want him, like, you know he's bad because you've seen, because you know Mortal Kombat, and you've seen other movies and also whatever, so, like, you know that he's not going to stay good forever, but you want him to because he's kind of charming. Like, he's irritating, but charming, right? He's right. A comedic relief.
I thought they were going to rewrite his story, though, for this movie, though.
I did, too, because they really made it seem like he was going to... But basically what happens is, like, he goes to... God, there's so many names in this movie. It's really hard. So Cole is the MMA fighter.
Right. He's an MMA punching bag is what he is. But
Right. He's a kind of a fall guy, but not really, because he doesn't fall on purpose. He tries his hardest and just doesn't, you know, whatever. Anyway, so he goes to see Sonya Blade because
he was sent
Jax
to her.
Told him to. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of find out Sonya Blade and Jax's backstories, that they're military.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when they got to wherever, they had been sent to get a mark. They're special forces. So they'd been sent to get a mark, and then the mark turns out to be like kind of like a Sub-Zero type person.
Right.
So they kill him, and when they kill him...
you inherit the mark or something.
He gets the mark, right. So it was Jax who killed him. He has the mark. Sonya's obviously kind of like jealous of... Not like in a bad way, but she wants to be a part of this world, and she's not.
Yeah, at all. And, you know, they had that fight with Reptile, which was interesting.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting take on Reptile, because, like, I was like, oh, they're, like, going into... I honestly, some of the CGI in this movie looks really good and some of it looks bad. And I think that this lizard was good.
Yeah, especially with the Predator, you know, blending into the background thing. And so that was cool. I enjoyed the shit out of that. So they go on this journey. And I'm, like, checking the time on the movie, because I'm like, man.
Yeah.
You know.
It's an hour and 15 minutes, I think.
I'm checking it because I'm like, a lot is happening but not happening. You know, it seemed like the filmmaker was taking his time, Tiff. And I was like, interesting. You better hurry up. You know? And so when they met Liu Kang and Kung Lao, my goodness. Talk about Kung Lao. That actor just chewed up the damn scene, being this.
I just love them.
Yeah, they were good. They were good.
And they're besties.
And Luke Kang, he was so different from the last character in the other movie. You know, he was like a humble monk. And Kung Lao was just like, look, I'm dope. I'm dope, and I'm gonna show y'all how to fight and try to keep up. He wasn't arrogant, but he was just like, look, I can whoop everybody's ass.
Right. You know? And I will say you guys, it is kind of hard to talk about this movie because, like, it's like Montego says, a lot happens and not a lot happens. So, like, they spend some time in this
temple
that and they're training to be either release their special abilities or just to become, like, just better fighters. They have, like, a month before the Mortal Kombat starts. But, Shang Tsung, he wants to just kill them
and break every damn rule doing it. Tiff, I was surprised about that.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he was a super bad guy. That's true.
But so Raiden,
stop right there. Like
a protection on the temple.
Stop right there. What did you think about the Raiden take? They actually didn't whitewash it this time. But what
I didn't mind it.
Okay, I have. It was really hard for me to understand the guy talking. You know, the actor.
Oh, for me it wasn't. But that's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, because he was speaking
English.
There
are a lot of accents in this movie.
Yeah, his accent was so heavy. He looked great. Now that's the Raiden I wanted back in the day, and they made him Christopher Lambert. You know, but that's the Raiden. I know that's the Raiden I want. But it was a couple times I rewinded a couple times. I said, "What did he say? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because it was so heavy, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So I don't know if it was that great of a choice. He looked great, but you know, and Raiden doesn't do too much. Like in most of these movies, you know, he doesn't really do that much. It's because
he's the good guy. He doesn't interfere. Like he's not supposed to. Well. Wink, wink.
Let's talk about the bad guys for a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought Melina was bad as hell.
She was really cool.
They went overtime trying to make that fine woman look bad, and they did make her look bad.
I don't think she even looked bad. I kind of thought she was kind of still sexy.
With that mouth opened up, I was like, whoa. Well,
that's the scary part. It doesn't happen until later anyway, which I think was a really good reveal.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of make it look like her mouth might open a little. I thought that the whole thing was done really well. There's the guy with the hammer.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell he was.
I am not familiar with this person. Yeah.
And I know Cabal, and he had somebody else's voice. You know, it was a different, you know, it was a totally different voice than the person actually acting. He was the guy with the hammer, I think, is what, Rinko?
Oh, okay, yes. So, which is really weird because, like, so these are all real Mortal Kombat characters.
But it was funny, though, Tiff, the choices they went, because they didn't go with all the classic characters. They kind of went and grabbed characters out of the whole franchise. And you know what I'm saying? Which I thought was cool because you don't want to show the same movie over and over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was really cool.
Well, I think they went with Cabal because he was Kano's people for real.
Yeah.
So yeah. It made sense in the movie. And of course they have Goro, but just like, ugh, I hate him.
So he's exiled. Go find your family, because he can't find his power. And Kano found it immediately. And I like that about him, that he found it and he was just laser beaming every damn body. But like, and then the Jax character had them little pitiful little arms.
Yes, which I was like, is that it? Which I kind of liked because it was a reveal. Right,
right. But they showed it in a trailer that he had his big arm. Yeah, he had his big. So I was like, why would y'all do that? Anyway, I love the fight when they finally, you know, the Goro didn't look too different from the original Goro.
But I thought he looked better.
He looked definitely better, and I like the fight that he had this fight with him at home. You know, with the hide and seek, it was more to it than just the fight. You know, there were stakes, and you know, he ended up finding his power in the middle of that fight. And I thought that was really, really well written, you know, especially for this type of thing. I was like, oh, pretty cool. You know, he found his thing and now he's going back to whoop some ass. And that goddamn woman with Khan Lao, boy, when he chopped that woman in half with that hat, goodness gracious.
That's a real Kung Lao finishing move.
Well, the Liu Kang was a real finishing move with the big dragon. All,
yes, with the big dragon. That's what I really like about these. That's what I was going to say, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because what I really like about this movie is it shows you the real finishing moves that they have. And it's kind of like even if you're like kind of like a person who just likes watching action movies, or even gory action movies, I guess you'd say, those are still fun to see and watch.
Oh, that brings in all your video nerds right there. You know, now they're
but
invested.
It's fun, like, for people who've seen it. It's like, it's fun for people who are like, oh yeah, that's like his one of his finishing moves. That's one of Sonya's finishing. Like, they're all like real finishing moves, and I like it when they work in the little, obviously little things that they say.
Now that's the one thing that I'm like, oh,
I like
damn.
It.
He's like, flawless victory. I want you to stop.
Oh, I loved it. But here's the thing. If he had said that and they hadn't said it in the video game, you probably wouldn't think anything of it. You'd be like, that's pretty cool.
You're right. That's a good point. If I didn't know that was a thing in the game, it would have been like, that's pretty good.
What a badass.
What a pretty good tagline he just did.
Badass.
Right. He just, right? He don't say much. He just say something. The Khan Lao character was bad as hell, Tiff. I was so like, that's my boy. And when they took him off the chess table, I was pissed. I was like, God damn, man.
But I will say, and that's going to be the most disappointing thing I think about this movie, is that if you've ever played a Mortal Kombat story game, you know that like people come and go. They go to the Outer Realms. They're brought back to Earth Realm through, you know, different magic powers, and or they become gods, or they do other stuff. And so like... it's really sad for me to know that we might never see the full Kung Lao story, because it was probably intended to be told in like the second movie.
That's what I'm saying.
And we might not ever see a second movie, even if they intended to make one.
I would have really liked to see this one in a series. You had so many stories that you could tell. That's why my one word was series. So anyway, so at this point in the film, Tiff, I'm realizing, oh, this is Mortal Kombat. It started and it being different from the very first one. It's on Earth. All the fights took place on Earth and stuff, you know. And Jax has his moments. He gets his arms and Sonya gets her powers. And I'm really digging how, like, the power, like, you thought everything was going to be mystical. And when Jax got his arms, I was like, oh, that's pretty damn cool. And when he says that line, like, yeah, these motherfuckers work, I was like, that was pretty good. I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So,
and I do like that, like, okay, so you're talking about the final fights when, like, yes. Raiden sends them to different places. He's like, can you send people anywhere? And it was pretty cool that they were sent to, like, different stages that you would fight in.
Yeah. And your hero was sent back to his gym, you know, at the MMA fight when his family was taken. Now, that was the one thing that I had a hard time swallowing, them being in that ice. They should have been dead.
Right. We talked about that, too, at our house. I was like, they're dead. I mean, whatever.
They should have been dead. But, you know, I think it would have made a better story if they would have died. You know what I'm saying? But that's just me, because I'm like, how are you going to be in that ice like that for that amount of time? And then, you know, you got your boy Cam out of hell keeping the spirit of the video game, because that's his story. You know, he comes out of hell and he was a badass. And I like that fight, man, that they were cooperating, but they didn't do a real big double team on a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They were like divided, but working together. And I just thought it was so damn cool. I mean, goddamn, he's so cool, Tef. I was like, man, it was cool. And they beat the shit out of Sub-Zero. It was satisfying.
Yes, yeah, it's really. But also, here's what I said to Mike. I said, nobody's gonna double tap that asshole. we're just gonna assume that he's dead. Like, nobody checked.
Nobody did, and he was just laying on the ground, Tiff. So he
was just burnt.
He's
like,
not.
I
dead.
Mean, I
he's not.
He's
dead,
not dead.
No way.
If there's gonna be, if there's more movies, he's coming back.
Absolutely. You know what? And in the game, didn't somebody else become Sub-Zero, like a relative of his or something like that? You know,
there's always gonna be a Sub-Zero.
Yeah, exactly. So
like, there's always gonna be a scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tef, the movie was over with, and some of the things I thought could be done a little better, but...
Well, there's a tease at the end, not at the end. He's like, hey, we're being sent out to find new Earth's champions.
I'm going to Hollywood.
Like, why are you going to Hollywood? And then they kind of show the bottom of a Johnny Cage poster, which is pretty cool.
They show that poster like Cage is the most fan favorite person of every... I was like, okay, so what?
You know? I think it was mostly like... just a tease for people who know of it. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And one thing I think the movie did right is that the characters who were not what the whole last movies were all about were what this movie was all about. You know, I mean, the hero of the thing was Scorpion of all things. You know what I'm saying? It was like, wow,
right. That's
pretty cool. And Liu Kang had a role, but he wasn't that important, you know? And I thought that was... good. You had to do something different. We didn't want to see the exact same movie.
Also, I think, like, this is more... I mean, Liu Kang and Kung Lao are very important in the games as well, obviously.
Did I say Luke Cage?
No, you said Liu Kang. You said Liu Kang, okay. And I said Liu Kang. It's just that my mouth is funny.
No, you said Liu Kang. Then I'm like,
you said Liu Kang. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But, like, I like... again, in the games, people switch sides.
Yes.
Some people they're good, they're bad, they're good, they're bad. So I think there's a whole rich sub like stories that we could get into as far as like sub like next movies, but like the problem is that this is never going to be a movie that's big enough to make more movies.
Yeah.
You're right. It might as well just be, it should be a TV show.
Yeah, then at least we could have got a full, you know, realization, right.
of this particular, yeah, band of heroes.
Yeah. I dug it, man. So interesting. I didn't expect you to was gonna like this stuff. I was like, well, she's gonna hate it, but it's cool. And I've seen better, but I enjoyed this. Like you said, it was very fun. The fun factor was off the chart. So
right, like I would sit down and watch this again right now.
I'm actually
like
thinking about watching this again today.
Yeah, there are some movies that you watch and you're like, oh, like, yeah, I liked it, but will I ever? I might watch it again if it was on, but I'm not going to, like, go out of my way. Like, I would go out of my way to watch this again.
Yeah, me too. So that's it, Tiff. We got through it. You got through it, Tiff. I can't wait to get you off and to get you to bed and stuff and get your little sleep.
I know.
Going.
I'm going to lay down. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So that's it, man. We can't do the damn thing. We got it done. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button all the way to the top. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye for this week, Tiff.
Get over here.
Oh, pretty good. And until next week, man, we will be
on patrol.
Go to sleep, Tiff.